Hey friends, welcome back to the Collective's Conversations podcast, where we're having conversations at the intersection of faith and life. Today, I welcome the Boylan sisters. They are faith-based filmmakers making female-empowered films that you're going to love. Maybe you've heard of them, Switch, Catching Faith, Catching Faith 2, The Greatest Inheritance. You're going to love them, love their conversation, and love sort of the story of how they got into this and what they want to do in the future making films. So without any delay, let's jump into our conversation. Friends, welcome back to the Collective's Conversations podcast. We're having conversations at the intersection of faith and life. And today we're having conversations at the intersection of faith, life, and entertainment as I have the Boylan sisters on the show. They've been making female-empowered faith-based films since 2013. These movies include Catching Faith, Catching Faith 2, Switch, The Greatest Inheritance, and their latest film, Identity Crisis. Please welcome Alexandra and Andrea to the show. Welcome, ladies.
Thank you for having us. We're excited to be here.
Yeah. Well, I read somewhere, and I'll let both of you maybe answer this question, that you grew up as pastor's kids, but you weren't just pastor's kids. You were your father pastored an incredibly historical church, the Byfield Parish in Georgetown, Massachusetts, which, if I got my date right, was founded in 1702. So we're talking about a historical church. What was it like being a PK in such a historical church?
Do you want to take that, Andrea, or me? You can take that.
Sure, I'll start. So it was such a great question because this was the first thing that came to my mind. I didn't grow up thinking it was a historical church. It was just my church. You know, it was our whole life. We weren't Baptists, so we didn't do the, you know, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday, but we did life together as a congregation. Okay. And so growing up there, it was church. It was home. One thing that I think is interesting is that I had the advantage of we had two buildings for our church. We had the old church, they called it, and then they built a new church when I was 12. So for the first early years, like up to middle school of my life, I was in the old church. And the old church is literally, now you would probably think of it as a museum, and it had boxes, which is not pews. And the reason they made boxes with the doors was that, and the way that the seats went was so that underneath the seats, they could put heaters because it's cold in New England and, you know, it wasn't central heat, right? Now, growing up in it, I had absolutely no idea. Well, I mean, it was just the way that church was, you know, and we like to hide underneath the seats where they used to put the heaters. So there's all these really fun things about growing up in a historic church. But as a kid, it just was our church.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Ms. Alexandra, what was it like for you kind of in this very historical environment growing up? How did that help shape maybe your faith or just even what you do now?
Yeah, well, our father is amazing. Our father was the pastor there for 41 years. When he got to the church, there was only like one or two people there, and he really built the entire church up. And so our father is incredible. He became a believer actually in the army, so he really understood grace. And, you know, he knew life not being a believer, and then had as a conversion story where I don't have that because I've just always known Jesus. So I think our father was such a great influence in us as kids and instilling, being really wise about, he was like, I remember asking him once about being a PK and how he handled that. He was like, well, I know what happens to PK kids. So I was really careful to make sure that we didn't send you guys down the wrong path. And he was so, like, I'd say, oh, Dad, I don't want to go to youth group. And he'd be like, okay, then you don't have to go. And I was like, I don't. Oh, okay, then I'll go. So it was like, even if I got to rebel, he was great. And then also the historical part, you know, my father has a radio program in Massachusetts called Byfield Parish Past and Present. So yes, he has a couple of radio programs. He's been in the Boston Salem radio station for as long as I've been alive that I remember. And so, you know, he talks about history and loves it. So actually one fun thing was on our movie Wish for Christmas that we shot in Massachusetts at that church. My father took all the cast and crew on different days on historical tours of the city, and he'd take them to the Salem witch trial area, and then he'd give everyone a tour. So everyone who came to Massachusetts got to learn a lot about the town that we lived in, because he's a historian, and we're in a historical church, and there's a lot of pride in our family from that. Yeah.
I'm sure. So you said your dad has radio programs and has some media. Do you think that impacted sort of your journey to go into media?
Well, so I loved acting from a really, really young age, but I definitely think we talk about this a lot. Our father being a storyteller, and pastors are storytellers. They create a story and they tell that story every Sunday. So all of us, my brother Andrew was a novel, our brother Alex won The Amazing Race and is a super successful producer. We're all in the entertainment industry now.
Wow.
So we kind of think, I'm sure it came from our father having this ability to tell stories and very engaging. You know, he built the church up to hundreds and hundreds of people because he's such an, people want to come hear him tell a story about the Bible, you know? So I'm sure that that has a lot to influence, is that we, you know, our mother was really theatrical when she was young, and then our dad is a storyteller. So yeah, I definitely, and our parents were very supportive of the arts, which is awesome as a kid when you love acting or you love telling stories. We actually had parents that were so encouraging of that, and that helped us spread our wings to fly. Wouldn't you say, Andrea?
Yes, I would. That's exactly what I was going to say. I feel like one of the wonderful gifts our parents gave us was no limits. They gave us lots of boundaries that were healthy, but in the sense of, if you can dream it, if you can build it, go do it. And they were really big on that. And I'm sure that my dad being on the radio and producing those radio broadcasts for so many years and us seeing them and just being around it is probably a big part of feeling like we could do it when we forayed into the arts.
Yeah. Miss Andrea, now you're more like Clark Kent Superman, though, because by day you're a clinical social worker, and like by night or whenever you're writing, you're kind of screenwriting for the movies. So what prompted the jump into screenwriting? Was it always something you were doing on the side and you'd like to social work? Or did maybe Miss Alexandra pull you in somehow? What's the story on how you became a screenwriter out of social work?
Well, first of all, the Clark Kent thing, that's a great example. I love that. Like, they don't have phone booths anymore. So I'm like, when do I like transform into this other person? But I am a social worker by trade, and I actually run a clinical practice. I see kids and their families, mostly kids that are in foster care or adopted. And that's what I've done for my career. And about 10 years ago, Alexandra called me up, and the short story is I was holding a laundry basket standing at the top of the stairs, and she asked if I would consult on a movie script. I had never written a screenplay before. I had never even read one. And of course, she had come from the acting world, so she had read many, many and had written some. And so it started as a conversation, and then very quickly, it became an opportunity. She said, well, would you like to just write with us? And I said yes, and began writing. And so I guess the part that fits with what I had spent a lot of time preparing, and I didn't know how God was going to use it, but I'm an avid journaler. I really believe in journaling. I think it's a really important part of your mental health and well-being. And so I had been writing and writing and writing for years and years and years. And I had written a couple books. So it wasn't a huge step to just write in a different way but I had no idea when I said yes to the first one that we would, I believe we have 10 scripts now, and 6 of them are feature films, which is just incredible.
That's fantastic. Now, Miss Alexandra, you've been in the industry acting for a while. You said your mom was theatrical, your dad did the radio programs. When was it a situation for you that you were going to chase the dream to Hollywood? Like, I've heard you tell a story that you did some stand-in acting and some different things, but when was it like you were going after this thing?
I started in Boston at 14. I heard about, I mean, I was in every theater thing I could get into as a kid ever since I remember. I don't remember a time where I wasn't on, you know, doing theatrical stuff in church and school. And then at 14, I found out about this Boston hotline. I mean, this is how old, I'm 44 years old. And so this goes way back to when you called in a hotline in Boston and they'd tell you what they were auditioning for. And then you could like come and audition. And I learned about that at 14. I'd be like, and my father drove me into Boston every single weekend to go audition in Massachusetts. And so, I mean, right from the get-go, I wanted to do this. And then at 19 years old, I announced to my parents that I was moving to Los Angeles, California to be the next movie star. And they were like, okay. And then I literally packed up and I moved to LA at 19 all by myself and was like, I hustled that town for a long time, found out how hard it is when you don't know anybody in the industry. No nepotism here, no nepo baby, you know? So I really had to like learn the business all on my own and struggled a lot in my 20s. And then praise the Lord, he called me into stepping behind the camera and writing and producing. And because as an actor, you can't work hard enough for someone to pick you. And I have a very strong work ethic and a strong drive. So that would drive me crazy that I'd work so hard, but I couldn't make them pick me. So once I could put my time and talents into something that I could create and finish, that was good. So I'm very grateful in 2011 when I believe God called me into this space and I called my sister. So I would say at a very young age, I knew this is always what I wanted to do.
That's great. And you guys say that when you were kids, teenagers, there wasn't a lot of films that you liked and your parents would let you watch. Now, I'm just going to make confessions to my listeners because I do that a lot here, but I used to lie about my age to watch the rated R movies. They never checked IDs, but at 15, I was saying I was 17. And then at 15, I was also saying I was 13 to get the child ticket, depending on the movie. Because I might have been like a church kid, but I was also a little bit of a liar back then. But there wasn't a lot of family friendly, especially faith-based films at all. What made that decision for you guys? What made you step into this sort of industry that's not known for making family-friendly things, especially now it feels like, and start going, hey, we've got to make films for families?
Do you want to go, Andrea, or me?
Sure. Well, let's tag team. So I would say that one thing that you need to know, Jeff, is I'm the oldest. So I still believe my parents were much more strict on the media with me than they were with Alexander.
Miss Andrea, we've got five. Let me just butt in. We have five and we have the two youngest left at home and they would say the exact same thing. Our oldest had it harder and the two babies living at home that we call the littles got it real easy. Like you're telling the truth.
All right. Well, my kids actually say the same thing, that our third is totally spoiled. But I think your question is a good one. My parents were strict, and we, as a family, we got to see things usually at the drive-in in the summer, and it would have been Star Wars or it would have been Indiana Jones. And other than that, also movies are expensive, and we were a family of four on a preacher's salary, so we didn't go to the regular movies very often. At least that was my growing up experience. And I would say that I love movies and and TV. I love entertainment. And so when Alexandra did call and we started to have this conversation about what it would look like to write a faith-based film that was about maybe a little bit more regular or ordinary life versus, you know, a lot of the faith-based stories tend to be extraordinary. You know, somebody has cancer and they're, you know, miraculously healed from it, or, you know, there's these kind of more miraculous stories. And we really wanted to talk about ordinary stories, stories that were, and especially about faith that is integrated into your life. And so Catching Faith was our offering to be like, here, as a mom, it has a female lead and it's a mom who's trying to do the right thing. And even when you try to do the right thing as parents, sometimes your children don't choose to follow what you taught them. And so, you know, there's a whole bunch that goes into my passion for writing family friendly, faith based material. And it's because there isn't a lot of it. And that, and what is out there sometimes doesn't feel like it's very relatable or right. fun. And I work with a lot of teenagers and families, and our dream is that kids will find a clip of our movie and show it in the hallway at school. We want to make, you know, Disney for Christians. And that's where my passion comes from. And I guess as a kid, we were seeing, you know, big screen, big epic kind of adventures, which was amazing. And then that's there. We don't have as many family clean stuff like that these days for our kids and our family. And we feel very, very passionate about creating that.
Yeah. And Ms. Alexandra, you've been in the industry a while. Now, it's not an industry that is known to be family friendly in general. Like, so after being in the industry, what did you see as maybe obviously the need was there. We don't have to be an actor or a movie producer to know there's a need for this content. But maybe from your experience in the film industry, in the media industry, what made you go, we have to do this and have to do it now?
That's a great question. So I pursued acting. So what did I get all the time? Auditions for things that were going out in the world that now I look back going, I wouldn't even want that part now if I had gotten that part. And mm-hmm. I think that seeing the way women were represented, the way we're talking to young girls, the auditions, literally, I moved to Albuquerque, New Mexico, and I had probably 40 auditions in 1 year, and they were all for a hooker, stripper, nurse, or secretary. And I was like, this is all I get as a woman. So I think that totally fueled me to be like, not only do we want to bring the message of Jesus Christ to the earth, we also want to honor women and lift them up right. and have girls see things that they can emulate and be proud of. And, you know, we see so much of this deplorable content for young girls going out there, really destroying them through social media and messaging. And Andrea and I feel so passionate that if we want to be the change in the entertainment industry and the world by telling girls that they're fearfully and wonderfully made. And I think and it's a great that you asked me that, because a lot of it came from me being an actress where I had no control over the content. I just would get mm-hmm. the audition and be like, oh gosh, this is the best I get to audition for. And then if I get it, I wouldn't even really be proud of doing this. And so I think for our movie Switch that we did about the two girls who switched bodies in high school, every girl who came to that set said, thank you. They go, we are so honored to be in this movie. We don't have to do anything inappropriate. We actually are proud of this story and proud to be a part of it. And so for us, we're even changing the world for the behind the scenes, for the actors and the crew who get to be a part of something, as well as putting out something in the world that gives life-giving truths to people instead of degrading them. You know what I mean?
Right. Yeah. And I think that's a great point, because I think everything culturally, if not sexualized, is sensualized, or it's as a dad of daughters, is putting women in a light that you don't want them to be seen. You don't want them to emulate. Andrea, you're a social worker who works with teenagers, but you're also the screenwriter. How important to you was it to cast a picture through your writing of an empowered female lead, through either being the mom or the teenage lead character, that these women were seen as something different?
It was everything. It is so important and so close to my heart, because I think when we are watching something, there is just a tendency, in you to emulate what you're looking at. And so to be able to have inspiring, you know, confident, brave mom, and to have a young lady, or, you know, the teen in our movie that actually is trying to do the right thing, you know, and even when they mess up, trying again, but, you know, emulating the kind of young women that we want our young women to become. It's everything. And I think it's incredibly important. And I love the verse that says, whatever is pure, whatever whatever's lovely, whatever is praiseworthy, think on these things. And it's not just thinking, it's also what our eyes are looking at, where our gaze right. is set. And obviously we want our gaze to be set on Jesus, but what are we watching? What are we looking at on our phones? It's important because it changes the way that we talk to each other, the way that we do our own lives, whether it's at school or at work or in our families, what we're looking at and what we're emulating. And so for mm-hmm. us to be able to make a difference in that and have a vision and a beautiful picture of what that can look like, I'll go back to my first word. It's everything to me.
Right. So I have to ask both of you as producers, creators, screenwriters, sometimes parts of ourselves leak into those things. Is there a character from a movie that you go, that's kind of me, just story told in on film? Is there a certain character that you go, that's really me, or that's part of me?
Do I go, Alexander?
All right. So Andrea and I write what we know. So all of our films right. have elements of our lives. The greatest inheritance is our family. And, you know, Switched, I was bullied really badly. So a lot of that came. I would say the most for me is our movie Wish for Christmas, which is about a spoiled, self-centered senior girl in high school who, when the big winter ball gets moved to Christmas Eve night, she can't attend because she has to go to church with her parents. And she's so fed up with her rules in her life, she wishes that her parents didn't believe in God. And when she wakes up, she finds out that the light of Jesus has been removed from her parents' heart. And she goes on a journey to find her faith and bring her parents back to faith because they become a reflection of her. And that story for me is very what I, as a young girl, being a minister's kid, I'd be like, if my parents didn't believe, maybe I could get away with more stuff. Maybe I could do stuff. But now as an adult, I look back and go, oh my gosh, what would my life have been like if my parents hadn't instilled faith and values into my life? So Wish for Christmas is definitely one of the most, for me, that's my story of being a young girl, wishing I could have gotten away with something and then realizing now as an adult, I'm so grateful. So I would say that stems from my real life experience as a minister's kid. And then Andrea, but they all have a piece of us in everyone.
Yeah.
Ms. Andrea, is there one that stands out?
Yes, there is one that stands out. For me, Alexa Taylor in Catching Faith 1 and Catching Faith 2. I think that whole persona of what you think people, how you present yourself with other people, other mothers, other women, when you're really maybe totally aching and broken inside and need to be transparent and open about where things are failing and where things are not working. And I also love the dynamic in that movie between her and her mother, because I think, you know, as adults, when we become mothers ourselves and wives, we sometimes are acting out things that we haven't resolved in our own past, but also there's all this angst sometimes as you're leaving and cleaving in marriage and your mom wants to be, you know, kind of controlling and still involved. And I think that those movies entertain the complexity of that conversation with some humor and some tears. And it's just really, it's beautifully done. So for me,
and I think that's important. Yeah, the complexity of character is important because I feel like sometimes in Christian films, characters are very flat, you know, like they're always the good guy or they're always the bad guy. And it's just, and in general, Christian media over the years has not been fantastic, like just not been. I spoke with Dr. Leah Payne. If I don't know if you guys are familiar with her, but she's a seminary professor at Portland Seminary. She wrote a book called God Gave Rock and Roll. And it's an academic history book on contemporary Christian music. In our conversation, she would say that contemporary Christian music especially would wait for something to trend in the world, and they would wait 2 or 3 years and then just make a cleaner version of it that was safe for the family. So Christian art has not been something that we've embraced. Mm-hmm. How important has it been for you guys as movie makers, as creators, as artists, to make good art, not just good stories, but good art?
Yeah, I'd love to speak on that for a second because it's so important to us. We actually, you know, I think sometimes in the faith world, people are Christians and then they make movies. We are movie makers and we're Christians. We are content creators. That is who we are. We aren't just a Christian who picked up a camera and decided to like make a Christian movie. We actually are right. filmmakers who are speaking into this. And I think, you know, it is so important that we're elevating our content. Andrea and I want our movies to be Disney for Christians that are fun. We want them to almost not eat the kids, not even know they're not watching Disney, but the parents will know because of the message within the story.
Right.
For us, it is so important. You know, Amy Grant was our rock star as a kid, and she has mm-hmm. so much to do with my faith. Because I wasn't allowed to listen to Madonna or Paula Abdul. Like we said, we had a Christian home, very strict. But Amy Grant came out as a pop star, and she was amazing, and she was awesome, and she was hip. And Andrea and I are really trying to do that for young girls of how do we make Mean Girls meets Freaky Friday for Christian girls and create really good stories that people want to watch and share and be proud of. And, you know, for us, we are not telling a sermon. We are telling a story. And within that story, we weave in the faith because they believe this and their point of view. But I think sometimes that people start with a sermon and then they're preaching. Andrea and I are not, we don't look at our films as conversion films. We look at them as, you know, we're speaking into Christians where they're at in their life so that they can maybe walk with God a little bit more clearer through after watching our movie or sharing that theme with their kids and saying, what does it look mm-hmm. like to live out this theme of the movie? But yeah, I mean, originally Andrea and I were kind of like, we got called to faith-based movies. We were a little concerned about doing it because of worried about the content or being cheesy because right. it's very hard to portray a love for a supernatural being in a visual medium. We're watching right. something, but God is not in the room talking. So we have worked really hard to be above board in all of our writing and our filming so that you feel like you're enjoying a story. And then within it, it has faith and not hitting you out of nowhere. Like we're Christians. One of my favorite compliments is Christians will say, thank you for your movies. Because sometimes I'll watch a Christian movie and be like, we don't talk that way. But in the movie, they talk all this.
That's true.
And right. We don't talk like that. So Andrea and I are always trying to weave it in a way that feels natural and not just a random out there. Cause it's just not how we are as Christians. Like just randomly at a bowling alley, don't turn around and say, oh, what's your relationship with Jesus these days? You know what I mean? We try to make it
how's your prayer life
natural and realistic.
Yeah.
How's your prayer
yeah,
life?
Yeah. I think that's you know? The, yeah. Yeah. Like you're out, like it's such an awkward, like some of the movies that like in the 90s and early 2000s, they were just so awkward. Like it didn't feel authentic to the humanity of Christians. Miss Andrea, as the writer, how are you cultivating some of that so that people feel authentic on screen?
It's a great question. And I want to echo everything Alexandra just said about the last question and say that one of the other things that I think about being a filmmaker, being Christians who are filmmakers, I had the honor of doing the production design for our last three movies. And it's really important to us that everything about the filmmaking process is excellent so that the costume design is believable and it's actually what you're wearing in high school, and that the design of the houses and the offices and the buildings, that it's rich and beautiful and that it's artistic, that it's a piece of art when you're looking at every single scene. So I think that the filmmaking piece is really important, that we really yeah. take that very seriously. And then when it comes to the screenwriting, so you both said it better than I can say it, but like, let's just use that bowling analogy. The only reason I'm praying at the bowling alley is because I want to get a strike, you know, let's be real. So, you know, like we try to make sure that the conversations are natural. And yeah. I'm going to echo back to Catching Faith again. There's a really fun scene between the mother and the son where she says, it's okay for you to be mad at God right now. And he looks at her and goes, good, because I am, you know, and I think that we really try to make that that God is a part of our everyday life. And it's part of the conversations that happen in my home, in my car with my kids, maybe even on the phone. You know, my daughter just finished AP testing and, you know, and I'm texting her, how is it going? I said another prayer for you, just praying that, you know, God will give you peace that passes understanding. That's the way that we talk. And so you want it naturally within it, you know, within the dialogue of how our characters talk to each other. And frankly, if the character doesn't know God, then they're not going to talk about God in the movie, you know? So we really just try to make it very, very real. And hopefully it's reflective of what it means to be walking with Jesus in real life, at a real school, at a real business, in a real home.
Yeah. And I think that's so significant in anything, everything. Again, I'm not Christian media. I think we've done a lot better job over the years, especially more recently.
Yeah, getting better.
But it's always been like you almost like you could sing any song you wanted, but you had to say Jesus somewhere in it. Like it was like in the random places, like and just and so I think it's important as creators and creatives that we're honest with the art, we're honest with what we do, and I appreciate that about your movies, that they feel honest, they feel authentic. They're faith-filled films, but also feel like real people. And so I appreciate that about what you guys are doing. And you also, when we talked about this, the female lead was important to you guys and having a female featured. Was that, tell me a little bit, but other than Alexander, you said the roles you were getting were bad roles and things like that, or the bad offers are bad offers. Why is that maybe personally so important? Is it that you're trying to cast a picture? Like again, as a dad of daughters, I want them to see things like this. Why personally is the female lead such a significant piece to what you guys make?
So when we believed that we were called into this, when we got the opportunity to make a faith-based family movie, and our only requirement was football from the executive producer who was going to raise the money and give us the opportunity to make it. When I called Andrea, we really looked at the landscape of faith-based films back in 2012, and there just was none that starred women from the woman's perspective. A lot of them were made by men and from the male perspective. Mm-hmm. And we just felt like, A, we're women creators, and B, we felt like the audience is so much mothers. Why aren't we speaking into what where mothers are at, that they're the ones buying the movie for the family? And we also just felt like that was near and dear to our heart to see a woman's story being told at the forefront of the story. And so when we went back to our executive producer and said, yes, we'll do a faith-based football movie, but it's going to star a woman, he said, oh, no, you can't do that. There's no numbers in the marketplace to back up a female-driven faith-based film because no one had done it really yet. And we said, well, we think that's because no one's doing it, but if we do it, can we prove there's an audience and that there are millions of women who want to see their stories be told and see a reflection of themselves on screen? So he gave us the opportunity to do it. He trusted us. And then that movie went on to become the top five consistent selling movie for the distribution company. It's been seen all over the world. We've gone to Cuba on book and movie tours where women have said it's changed their life. And when that happens, that just fuels your fire to keep going and be like, women are seeing themselves in this, and it's bringing them closer to the Lord, and it's making them feel seen. And it's so important to us, and I could go on forever. I'll let Andrea answer too, because I could go
to your point about the football film. It had been made from a teen perspective with Hometown Legend, which is a Jerry Jenkins book, and then the Kendrick movie, Facing the Giants. So those movies had already been made. So obviously there was something new about a female lead in a football movie like that. That's a unique idea. Like, and again, I love uniqueness and I ask difficult questions sometimes, but Miss Andrea, why was it for you? That's so significant, especially with Catching Faith. So a football film with a female lead feels counter, which it would be normally, but why was that such an important story to tell?
Well, I think it's really important because going back to that mom audience, I think that we, especially in the church, there is a sense that we dress up ourselves, right, for Sunday morning. And I know that churches are getting much, much better about you being able to come as you are and be transparent with the things you're struggling with. But I think in parenting, it's hard to be authentic when our kids aren't making choices of the way that we taught them, or our family, you know, it's that old saying, you know, that you argued all the way to church and then you got out of your car and you smiled and greeted everyone and we were all at one big happy family, right? And I think that we all need permission to see that everybody's arguing in their car on their way to church, you know, and that mm-hmm. a lot of these things are more common than we think, so that then we can be like really whole people and healed because we're honest with all the pieces. And so the Catching Faith story was so important because it was about what Alexa's thought it was supposed to look like to follow after Jesus, and what she thought it was supposed to look like to raise her kids. And then when her kids, the premise is that her son, who's the starring quarterback of the team, gets caught drinking, he gets let off, but the other kid that isn't the quarterback gets arrested. And he, because they, you know, we can't have him benched. We need him to play. We need to win our games. Right. And then she and her husband say, you have to do the right thing and turn yourself in. And he ends up getting benched and there's consequences for the team. And it's also a high profile mistake that when you're in a small town, it's a big deal. And so it's like, how does your whole family intersect with that? And then where does God fit in with that? And all of us are dealing with those kind of questions all the time, and those conundrums and those failings, and it's so hard. And I believe that there's no better place than our church family to be the safe landing spot when those hard things happen, so that we can heal and grow and maybe not make those decisions again, and move forward in even more alive, whole place. And so the story, for all of those reasons, it's why it's so close to our hearts and why it's so important. And I think why it's really struck a chord with an international audience, because I think they're universal questions and they're universal struggles for moms and for family.
And I think universal stories, no matter what the setting is, this permission to be authentic. Not just in a film, like in life. Like, I think a lot of people struggle with this sort of need to be authentic, to be seen. As a dad of five, my wife and I talk about this. Our kids are, especially in a social media driven world, always on display, always accessible, always having to put their best foot forward in every circumstance, situation, because they're always seen. And there's not always space to just be authentic. And so I think the storytelling of going, hey, it's okay to be authentic, we all have some of these things, I think is so critical. And I think the vulnerability of that is even more important, because then if there's permission for that, then there's permission for me to say I struggle, which gives more permission for me to find healing and help. Which, do you feel like maybe your films, again, Miss Andrew, you come from a clinical social work background, are a little bit of that, helping people find healing and help in some of the stories that they're walking through?
Yes, I was sitting here going, amen, amen, Jeff. Yes, it's totally. We want to start a conversation that can happen around the dinner table or in your car with your kids. But ultimately, that conversation is so that we are finding the truth, we are sharing the truth with each other, and then we are becoming more whole and healed. And that is exactly it. One of the scenes that came to my mind from Catching Faith is there's a Bible study scene with the women, and the Bible study leader's talking, and our lead character Alexa is shaking, nodding her head in agreement, and she says something like, "Do you ever question God?" And she shakes her head, "No," and everybody else is nodding their head, "Yes." And it's such a visual picture of like, this is what I'm supposed to say right now versus what the truth is of really where I am in whatever's going on in my story. And so it's all about permission to ask the hard questions and then find the healing and wholeness that Jesus brings, but also Jesus uses people, right? And community and our connections with each other.
Sometimes I feel like my kids live in a Christian movie. Like they are like Thursday morning Chick-fil-A Bible studiers. Like, looks like a Christian movie in our life sometimes, but life is still messy. So Miss Alexandra, go ahead and speak to that, like the authenticity piece of the movie.
Well, one of my favorite quotes from Gina Davis Institute is, if she can see it, she can be it. So we are always trying to show how people can live their life. And I think the biggest thing is, we're trying to shed light onto some dark issues in a fun way. And I think when people feel alone, or that they're the only ones going through it, that can be so isolating. And we want to shine a light and say, you're not alone. And a lot of people have come to us after our films and say, wow, I'm going through the same thing this character's going through. Thank you for making this, because now I don't feel so alone. And that is what we do with our movies, is show these people going through things that other people might not talk about, because they don't know they're not the only one going through it. And that's what we love. We love finding out that parents said that after they watched Catching Fate with their kids, that their kids told them the truth about something they had never talked about. And then bullying would switch and talking about, oh my gosh, I'm the bully, or I've been bullied. So we want to open up conversations where it gives kids permission to talk to their parents about things they normally would talk about, because we are shining a light on it. And you know, I mean, bullying can be such a dark subject, and we really tried to do it in a fun way where kids will want to watch it over and over and share it. But let me tell you, the message in Switched is deep, deep, deep message in there of love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul, and love your neighbor as yourself. And that's another thing I want to point out, is that, you know, we've, our whole life as Christians, we hear the Christianese talk, and Andrea and I really try to actually answer those or talk about that. Like in Identity Crisis, she's like, your identity lies in Christ. And the girl goes, wait a minute, I've heard that my whole life, but what does it mean? So we actually take some of these Christian things we've heard our whole life, and then we ask the question back, and wait, I hear that, you can spout that out, but what does it actually mean? And what does it look like to live that out? And that's also what Jesus did, was constantly ask questions and talk in parables. And Andrea's and I movies are definitely outside the box, like parables of switching bodies and cloning, to ask a question that then you can come back and talk about.
That's great. So just a couple of softball questions so we kind of wrap up. Is there a favorite movie each of you have
that we made or something else? Okay.
Well, give me one you made, and maybe a favorite movie you've ever watched. Like, we'll go both. How about both?
Okay. You want to go, Andrea?
Sure. I think that, I mean, I love all of our movies, but I think Catching Faith is my most favorite movie that we've made. And my favorite movie is When Harry Met Sally.
I love that movie.
Oh, good. I was like, oh no, I'm going to
get in trouble. Mine is Switched. My favorite movie that we've made. It's hard sometimes when you talk about a movie, because we think about the whole process from writing to making it to selling it. You know, there's so many different parts, but I will say that Switched is my favorite. It really is my love letter. I was bullied so bad that bullying has stayed with me. So when we created Switched, it was like my love letter to young girls of, like, you know, we can stop this now and not create the chain of what a bully does to somebody's heart for the rest of their lives. So Switched is really important to me and my favorite. And then my favorite movie is probably Back to the Future. I just love those 80 movies that just had fun, like we did with Identity Crisis, where she clones herself. You know, you can't have a flux capacitor that can take you back in time, but it's so much fun to suspend disbelief and believe you could. And that's, so Back to the Future, that's up there. I want to be Marty McFly. That's such a great movie.
Another great movie. Yeah. I think I maybe a year ago watched Netflix. I think it's on Netflix. There was like a documentary on like the whole Back to the Future movie and these like tribes of people who are like dedicated fan bases and remaking DeLoreans. It's like there's a deep fan base for the Back to the Future folks. So we wrap up the show. I have one final question that I ask all of my guests that come on the show. We'll take this one at a time. The show is titled The Collective's Conversation. So who is one person, historical, present, fictional, or in real life, that you'd want to sit down and have a conversation with?
I think we're both going to say the same person.
I don't know, not. Andrea. No, I don't think so.
Okay, well, I'm going to say Amy Grant. I would love, in real life, I would love to sit down and have a cup of coffee with her and just talk to her. I'd love to say thank you for all of the ways she inspired me. But also, I've just heard she is the most warm and amazing person, and I would love to sit down and talk to her.
Miss Andrea, she has, do you know, hang on, I want to interject. She has like a farm in outside Nashville that you can go to. And like, there's like this fire that you have to, you're like constantly keep burning. Like, and she like comes through there sometimes. So if you visit her little like getaway, maybe she'll pop in on you.
I will try that for sure.
Andrea and I have another story I'll tell you off air about that too.
Okay.
We love Amy Grant. We know so many people know Amy Grant, and we're just trying to meet Amy Grant because we love her. And she did influence our life as young people and has inspired us to be who we are today. So Amy, let's have coffee. the other, I would say one of my other people in history would be Harriet Tubman. I love Harriet Tubman's story. I think growing up in Massachusetts, for some reason, we studied her a lot. We went to her house. I love the Disney movie that came out about Harriet Tubman. I love that she was such a strong faith-filled woman who literally prayed and got visions from God to save lives. And I'd love to sit down with her and be like, what was it like running through the woods and getting a vision from God where he said, don't go that way, go this way, and saved all these people's lives. So Harriet Tubman, she's amazing. And I can't wait to sit down in heaven with her and have a conversation about her life.
Well, those are great answers. Very strong women, both of them, Amy Grant and Harriet Tubman. Ladies, thank you so much for being on the show. Thank you for the movies you're making and the impact they're having on families and faith. It's been such a joy to have you on the show. And as we always say, the Collective's Conversation, you've got a seat at the table. Thanks for being on. Wow, what a great conversation that was. Thanks for joining us in the conversation. Is something from the conversation really stood out to you? Would you share it and tag me on social media at Jeff_Pitts_ on Instagram? And we would love it if you would rate and review and subscribe to the show. That just helps us reach more people with these great conversations. And as we always say, you've got a seat at the table. Thanks for joining the conversation.